Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And as we head into Veterans Day weekend, we're thinking about the Department of Veteran Affairs and how it's serving vets. To that end, we have someone really in the know joining us to discuss what's working, what's not, and what's at stake. It's former head. And we'll open up the phones in just a minute for veterans to talk about how the VA serves you well or not so well. But there's also politics here. David Chulkin was confirmed by the Senate 100-0, but dismissed from his position just over a year later by a tweet. Secretary David Chulkin first came to the Department of Veterans Affairs under President Obama in 2015 to serve as Undersecretary for Health, and he was appointed Secretary of Veterans Affairs by President Trump in 2017. He learned of his new job on TV. But his time in Washington soon became, in his own words, so toxic, chaotic, and subversive that it became impossible for him to do his job. So he joins us now to discuss working for President Trump and how information and misinformation flows to the White House and the public. Secretary Chulkin has a brand new book called It Shouldn't Be This Hard to Serve Your Country, Our Broken Government and the Plight of Veterans. Secretary Chulkin, thanks for some time today. Welcome to WNYC.
I'm glad to be with you today.
And you were confirmed by the Senate unanimously, as I said, something that feels especially notable in this polarized era. The president used to call you the 100-0 man. And throughout the book, you seem to have a good working relationship with the president until suddenly you find yourself fired via tweet. What happened?
Well, I think what we've seen is what happened to me approximately 18 months ago is very similar to what we're seeing today, repeat patterns of behavior where the president gets information from a variety of sources, and there are people often outside of government giving information to the president on which the president makes decisions. And as we all see, this president makes quick decisions sometimes, and somebody must have given him some information that he thought made sense to him, and he went ahead and made a change in his secretary. And of course, when you're in the cabinet, you serve at the pleasure of the president. So that's one of the ways that you just sort of get used to the job when you work in government.
So that's
as a political appointee.
And even more so under President Trump. But to me, as I understand your book, there was actually a policy issue at the heart of you being pushed out because there was this desire to get rid of you and anyone else who was seen as an obstacle to privatizing the healthcare aspects of the Veterans Administration, correct?
Yeah. As you said, Brian, I came to the Department of Veteran Affairs from the private sector. I was a hospital CEO. I'd been running health systems all my career. And I came really not for political reasons, but because I felt our veterans deserved better. And I joined the Obama administration. And when I was in the Trump administration, I think that there was some frustration that my loyalty was to the veterans. I was going to stand up for the principles I believed in and what was right for veterans, and I wasn't going to have blind loyalty to a political party. And when I wouldn't go along with the policy agendas that I felt would weaken the Department of Veteran Affairs and therefore be bad for veterans, they grew frustrated with that. But I should just go along with what they wanted. But of course, that isn't why I was there.
You want to make that case a little bit? We've covered privatization of the VA as an issue. I know President Trump at his rallies, he goes around saying, oh, vets, we got you choice. You're not locked into the VA health center monopoly anymore. Now you can go see any doctor. And I'll tell you that when we did segments on this in the past, we certainly got a lot of calls on both sides, like, oh, my God, they're going to destroy the VA. We're you know, not going to be well served. And, oh my God, the VA centers, they're good for some vets, but they're really not good for a lot of other vets. And boy, do I like having the ability to go to my own doctor and get reimbursed. So make your case.
When I first went into government, when the Obama administration asked me to leave my job in the private sector to help, it was because there was a national wait time crisis. And I had never worked in government before, so I thought I might go and find the VA was so broken and in such shambles that the best thing to do would simply be to shut it down and to send all the veterans out into the private sector, the system that I was most familiar with. But when I got to the VA and I saw what they were doing, and I actually put on a white coat and took care of patients, veterans myself, I saw that the care that was being delivered in the VA wasn't necessarily available in the private sector, that this was a system that was focused on what veterans needed. It did extensive behavioral health care. It created programs that required knowledge and competency in military issues. And so I quickly came to understand that what would be best for veterans, if you put them at the center of your decision making, would be a system that kept a strong, sustainable VA. But when the VA didn't have the right services or couldn't provide the right care, that veterans could easily then get the care in the private sector. And that's exactly what I was designing, a system that was a combination, a hybrid system mm-hmm. between a strong VA with access to the private sector. It just turned out that some members of the Trump administration didn't think that that was happening fast enough. They wanted to see more access to the private sector, which I felt would end up deteriorating the conditions in the VA and taking away too many resources to keep it sustainable. So it was a difference in the view of how the system should ultimately end up being designed.
So listeners, if you are a veteran, as we go into Veterans Day weekend, we want to hear from you. Tell us about your experiences with the Veterans Administration. Are there specific initiatives in your life that are working as parts of the VA? Are there things that aren't working? Do you want more options to get health care in the private sector? My guest is former VA Secretary David Chulkin, and this doesn't just have to be about Trump politics and Veterans Affairs. It can be about what the Veterans Administration is and could be. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Anything you want to ask former Secretary of Veterans Affairs, David Chulkin. And again, his new book is called It Shouldn't Be This Hard to Serve Your Country, Our Broken Government and the Plight of Veterans. 212-433-WNYC, veterans of any war, 212-433, or just veterans. I guess you don't even have to be a veteran of a war. I should say veterans of any branch of the military, 212-433-9692. I see, Secretary Chulkin, that another of your key priorities was getting to zero on veteran suicides. How do you understand the extent of that problem today, the causes, and what can be done about it?
20 veterans a day take their life through suicide, which is just a staggering number. Of course, this is a problem even in the populations outside of veterans in the general public, but among veterans, the rate is much higher. And if you take a look at the reasons for this, they're often the underlying reasons why people are suffering and feel isolated. They are depression, anxiety, PTSD, chronic pain, substance abuse. And so I think in order to address this, we have to connect people with the right type of help. And unfortunately, too many veterans are out there without any resources or help at all and feeling very isolated. And so this has been a big push. It was my single top clinical priority when I was secretary, and the Department of Veteran Affairs today continues to make that a priority. And we're working across the board with community organizations to try to find solutions.
Let's take a phone call. Here is George in Newark. George, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. I guess I wanted to sort of agree with you on how difficult it is to serve. I was actually a researcher at the VA, and I was trying to help understand some of the, you know, very veteran-specific health conditions and what we might be able to do about them. And they basically made me shut down my lab because I'm a Canadian, I'm not a U.S. citizen, and they decided that only U.S. citizens should be able to do research at the VA.
Yeah, the title of my book, It Shouldn't Be This Hard to Serve Your Country, really has a double meaning. It means that when you serve your country in uniform and you come back and you need the help that you deserve, it really shouldn't be this hard to go through all the bureaucracy and the barriers that sometimes our veterans face. But secondly, it means, in your case and in my case, people who want to come and help, who want to try to find solutions and really are public servants, have lots of options, but choose to do this in a setting that helps veterans, their jobs just aren't that easy to do. And the environment that we see today, in this case, you're talking about rules that are, to prevent people who have a citizenship outside this country from contributing. But the environment today is just making it extremely difficult for our people who serve in these public roles to do their jobs. And unfortunately, the end result is that veterans are worse off because you, as a researcher, have a lot to contribute, I'm sure, and it's all about making the lives of veterans better.
Why do you think Trump was so focused on privatizing VA health care? Obviously, veterans are one of the constituencies that he considers core, to his popular support and eventual re-election. On the other hand, I think I saw in the book that the Koch brothers had their fingerprints on trying to fast-track this policy. So is it just that Trump perceived this to be extremely popular, bringing choice to vets, or some other more nefarious political connections? How do you see his extreme interest in this?
Well, I think there's probably a couple answers to it. I think that when you speak to many people that have a negative opinion about the Department of Veteran Affairs, they've gotten that from the press, which tends to cover negative stories rather than positive stories. And when you ask people, have you ever been to a Veterans Affairs hospital? Have you ever seen any of this care being delivered? The answer is often no. And so when people just form their opinions based upon what they've heard, they often don't necessarily get an accurate picture. But I also think that the president, like many people of considerable wealth, have pretty easy access to health care and want everybody to have that type of experience. When you call a doctor, they give you an appointment right away. And so I think from his own perspective, feeling that there aren't access problems in healthcare. But as we all know, when the average American tries to get access to healthcare, it's often long waits and difficult to get good access to health care, particularly if you don't have good health insurance. And so I think that the Department of Veteran Affairs, which services over 9 million veterans, many of them who are lower income, provides a tremendous service and access that wouldn't be available to them if they were out in the private sector.
Cy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with former Veterans Affairs Secretary David Shulkin. Hi, Cy.
Yeah, hi. I use the Veterans Administration on 23rd Street and 1st Avenue in New York.
And let me just say for background, you told my screener that you're a World War II vet, right?
Yes, I'm 95 years old.
Wow, thank you for your service.
That's not necessary. It was easier to join up than not to in those days.
You would have been drafted if you didn't join up, wouldn't you have?
Possibly. I had a job in a defense plant. I got out of high school in 1942 and went to work in a defense plant in Harrison, New Jersey, that made catapults for the Navy. And they kept telling me, don't enlist, don't enlist. We can keep you here for a while, because they were losing guys to the draft.
Yeah. Well, that's
I felt I didn't belong there, and I quit and joined the Army.
That's a story,
And eventually wound up a bomber pilot.
So you go to the VA hospital on 23rd Street?
Yeah, and I've seen great improvements there, too. I've never experienced being hospitalized there. I don't know what that is. But I recently had a myeloma removed from my back. I go to dermatology because I have a lot of skin problems. And I get my hearing aids from the VA. But one thing I wanted to get from the VA, I have a problem with one leg. And I can't cut my toenails on my right leg.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the VA. It's hard to find a podiatrist who will cut toenails under Medicare because they don't get enough money for it or it's below them. I have a good one now that's private. But I went to get them cut at the VA. And in that particular thing, they were incompetent. They didn't have the equipment. They still don't have it. I tried to call there's a complaint office number that they give you to call, and I tried to call it, and I was routed to the White House.
Huh.
And I had somebody from the White House taking down the information. I never heard from them again. I guess maybe it was too small a thing, but I was concerned that these were people who were trying to damage the VA, not to help it.
Si, that's such an interesting story, and glad you made it back safely from World War II, and it sounds like everybody should be in as good shape as you sound like you're in at age 95, certainly in communication skills. So, Secretary Shulkin, what about Tsai's theory here that he so clearly laid out, that he was, when he had a complaint about VA health centers services, they routed him to the White House, and maybe because they're trying to destroy the VA?
Well, Tsai, first of all, happy Veterans Day on Monday. You've celebrated a lot of them, and you certainly deserve our gratitude. When I would put on my white coat as a doctor in practice, I would practice at the 23rd Street VA in Manhattan. And I can tell you, overall, I agree with Si. This is a really terrific hospital. Many of the doctors are NYU doctors, so providing really high-quality hospital care. Not every hospital, of course, anywhere does everything very well. And in this case where Si has found a problem, I think that being able to then go out to the private sector makes sense. And so, you know, that's what Si is doing. In terms of the complaints, we did set up, when I was secretary, the White House hotline. This was one of President Trump's campaign promises. And so we set that up, and it does get lots and lots of phone calls. It's usually answered by other veterans. And we do try to resolve the issues when they come in. But, of course, I'm disappointed that Si didn't get a response to this because he certainly deserved it. But, you know, I'm no longer secretary, and I don't know exactly how those calls are being handled now.
You know, I've heard this from another person or two his age, that it's a common problem, either because of leg problems like he has or back problems or whatever, that some people who are very elderly lose the ability to cut their toenails. It's something that should be covered, right, if it's not covered?
Well, it's important not only should it be covered, but it's important if you end up having an infection and that isn't taken care of early, then it can get worse and lead to very severe problems. So it is important to do that type of preventative care.
Eva, in the Hudson Valley, you're on WNYC with former VA Secretary David Shulkin. Hi, Eva.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. As a female veteran, I'm always just concerned. I'm also an employee of the VA. That when I go to VA for health care, we are not as, you know, it just seems like we're not as big of a priority as the male. I understand we are a small population, But, you know, you go to one VA has a mammogram, so you can get your mammogram done. Another VA doesn't. Or you go to one VA for PTSD treatment, and it's concentrated only males, and then you have to then move to another VA for that because you're female. And so it seems like there needs to be this sort of a concentration on the female somehow, but not excluding the female. It's almost like when we go to basic training, although we are separated, services are provided to all of us. But the VA seems to just not be on board with that, at least from VA to VA. So I guess I want to know from you, Secretary, how the president and also this administration and the VA can sort of continue to sort of focus female health care at every VA so we don't have to keep traveling around to find care.
Well, again, thank you for your service and happy Veterans Day. This is not atypical that we have veterans who work at the VA. About 35 to 40% of our employees are veterans, continuing to serve other veterans. The women's health care issue is extremely important. In fact, the fastest growing demographic of veterans are women. And as you know, now women can serve in any role in the military. So it's very important that we focus on this. And VA is playing catch up. I think what you're describing, unfortunately, still exists in many VAs where they don't have the full scope of services. But the focus on women's health care for veterans, actually 25 years old today in terms of the offices that were established to focus on this, are working hard to make progress. And there are women's health centers, as I'm sure you're aware, in about 120 of our medical centers that when I was secretary, I would visit them on a regular basis, are magnificent facilities offering state-of-the-art care in an environment that where is respectful and where women often feel very comfortable. But we have a long way to go. And, you know, women have particular issues, particularly issues like military sexual trauma that the VA is good at treating, but we need more clinicians and more focus to be able to help on that. And so the focus, I believe, is there. I think the services are getting better, but it was many years of neglect, and I think you've identified that.
Eva, thank you so much. There's a moment in the book when the president defangs political opposition to legislation you were working on, the choice program, with a phone call. And you're right, it was times like these when I realized how politically astute the president actually can be. Can you talk more about that? Because it's a side we don't see that often, you know, in some of the reporting. And especially at times when there's other reporting questioning his mental acuity.
Yeah, I think you had referred to this earlier as well, Brian. I think the president recognized that he had a way to connect with veterans. In fact, I heard today that about 57% of veterans in this country are supporters of the president. And so he's delivered a very strong and simple message that he cares about what happens to them. And when I would be with him, he would be able to sort of tune in on that message. And he enjoyed interacting not only with veterans, but members of the military, and would make selective phone calls, whether they were to people in the press or to people of influence, to make sure that they understood that he was focusing on this issue. And I think politically, that was something that he just had a natural instinct for and had an intuition that this would be a winning issue for him.
So before you go, you say one of the reasons you wrote the book is that you think the VA is still in, quote, grave danger. What grave dangers do you see for it?
Well, first of all, I believe that it's really essential for us to honor our responsibility as a country to make sure that we have a place that when people come back and they need our help, that the country's there for them. And I think that is the VA system. And there are some policies that are being implemented right now that I believe are misguided and will end up in a weaker VA in the future unless we're careful that those policies don't have those consequences. And so what I strongly argue in the book for is that it's important that we have transparency about what we're trying to do, what our vision for the VA is, that there's appropriate congressional oversight, which is their responsibility, and that the American public understand why it's important that we have a strong VA so that we don't one day wake up and say that the system that we once had is no longer there for those who have served.
You know, I think we have a related question, so let me tack on one more phone call from Steve in Manhattan. Steve, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Thank you very much for taking the call. I wanted to ask the secretary if he had any information that he could give us about something I have read on many occasions about three shadowy gentlemen living in Florida who seem to have some strange interest in the VA. Does he know anything about that?
Yeah, I think that there has been a lot reported on this, that there were a couple individuals, I think you're referring to three of them, that the president had asked for help in advising the VA even before he had asked me to be secretary. And these three individuals, as private citizens, offered advice both to the White House and the president, as well as to me at times, to try to make the VA a stronger, better place. And, you know, I think that private citizens from all over the country would contact me at various times to try to offer their services and to help. And so there's been a lot of interest in this. You know, I've said, and I said in the book, that that while they were active in providing advice as private citizens, that they I never saw them act in any way that would be towards their financial interests or that were for improving their own condition. I think that they were genuinely interested in trying to improve the VA.
All right. David Shulkin, who was the ninth Secretary of Veterans Affairs and is now the author of It Shouldn't Be This Hard to Serve Your Country, Our Broken Government and the Plight of Veterans. Secretary, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.